Lord, if you don't show up, Lord, our words are just words. They're empty, they're powerless, they're, even at the best, they're just thoughts. But we want to own your words. We want them to come alive in our spirit. We want your words to wake us up to what you're doing, to call us up to what you're doing.
Yes.
We want your words, Lord, to just open our spirits into your realm where we can see with your eyes and hear with your ears. Lord, we are so carnal. And like Miss DeAngris says in her song, if you don't call us, if you don't call our name, we can't even worship. And if you don't love us first, we can't even love you. So we need you to move and breathe your life into us tonight.
Yes.
Even search us right now. Search us right now, God. We just open up everything inside of our hearts, our minds. We lay down all the busyness and the tiredness, the needs, the questions, the doubts, the fears. We just lay it all down, Lord. We ask you to search us. Find anything that would prevent us, block us from hearing you tonight. Grant us repentance.
Yes.
And remove it from us, Lord, so that we can be open vessels that you can live in. Prepare us to hear your words tonight. Open up this book of Revelation, because I believe we're somewhere in the end times, and you want your church to be ready. You want to give us the revelation of yourself and of things to come. And we want to receive it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask DBJ to come and read chapter 1 with us. So just turn to Revelation 1 and we'll follow along as he reads it. And then I hope some of you have things to share, but I'm going to bring the message he gave me to bring. And then we're going to open it up for talking at the end.
Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches.
There's a lot of things that stand out in this chapter, and I'm not going to comment on all of them. It's interesting that in chapter 1, he repeatedly said, I am he that was and is and is to come. I am the beginning and the end. He repeated that several times. You know, that's very interesting if you want to follow that thought. Like I said, I didn't follow all the thoughts. I'm going to share the things that he wants me to share, and then I'm going to see what he gave you to bring and share. There's 2 things that we were told to pay attention to in the book. One is the revelation of Christ, and the other is things that must shortly come to pass. And the book of Revelations was given to the churches. So he wants us in the church to have a revelation of Christ, and a revelation more full, more complete. He's opening up a greater unveiling of who he is, and he's doing that through his church. He's doing it to his church because that's where he lives, is inside of his church, inside of his people. His spirit lives inside of us. So if we're going to reveal him, if he's going to be revealed in a greater way, it's going to be through us, through those in his church.
Amen.
So we need to be ready to reveal this revelation. The very revelation they showed us in chapter 1. Not the baby in a manger, not just a man in the flesh, you know, as restricted, being humble and kind and sweet. Yes. But what is he saying when he's coming with fire in his eyes? When he's walking with fire in his feet, feet that have been in the furnace of fire, what is he saying? That's not the revelation that he brought when he came in the New Testament. But now, in these end times, he's coming with a burning fire of repentance. We have to carry that message.
Amen.
And that's a hard message to carry, because there's been churches that have carried a message of repentance, but sometimes it's been carried in anger. It's been carried in judgment, anger, and like, you're going to burn in hell, you know. That message needs to be carried in the character of who God is, which is love.
Amen.
So we see that he will only be seen through the church. Christ in you is the hope of glory. If he's going to be seen, the hope of his glory being seen is us. We are represented by candlesticks that hold the fire of God. These candlesticks, I believe, are golden, pure golden, and when gold in its purest form, it becomes transparent. That means we have to become transparent. The church has to become transparent. In America, that's a very difficult word to receive, because we are a proud nation of people. We call it dignity. But what we call dignity ends up being fake. We have a culture where we have to behave a certain way around people. You know, and if we don't do that, then were looked down upon. Like, what's wrong with you? People don't behave that way. They don't say those things, and they don't act that way. You know, I was going through some repentance myself last night on into today, and the Lord reminded me in Jeremiah when he was talking to me about calling me to speak his words. And he said, you know, I'm putting my words in your mouth. Fear not their faces. Well, I always looked at that as, okay, when I'm bringing his word, like right now, I can't care if your faces like what I'm saying, don't like what I'm saying, fall asleep, you know, get mad at me. I can't care what your faces are doing when I'm bringing the word of God. I have to bring what he gave me to bring.
Right.
And that's as far as I took it. Last night, he took it further. I met with someone this week, and our conversation was shallow. Our conversation was, how are your kids? How are your grandkids? What's going on in your life? And that was, it kept going that way. And God reminded me that I wasn't saying what I was really feeling. I wasn't saying what was really, he was putting in my heart. I wasn't really saying it. I didn't want to come right out and say things that could hurt someone's feelings or, you know. And no, I wasn't preaching. I wasn't bringing a preaching word. But I was face to face with another person, and I was worried about the countenance of what they were thinking, what they were feeling. And so I was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable because I wasn't speaking what he really wanted me to speak. What I should have said, what I really had inside of me was, why are we being so fake? Why are we being so shallow? We used to open up and share our hearts and share our issues and pray for one another, and we were real and we were deep and we were honest and open, and I don't like this conversation we're having. Let's open up. Let's get real. Let's be that way again. That's what I should have said. But
yes.
I didn't. And God brought me to a real repentance. I've been in the store shopping, and I've even hugged a person and cared about them, but then I went home and said, I don't even know if that person is saved. But I didn't ask them. And I didn't say something to them where they would know. Now, there's times that I did. And there was a time where God had me mix a certain blend of oils and wear it. And he called it a mother fragrance. I had to gather about 5 different oils to make that fragrance. And it was awesome. But it smelled like a mommy. And then he told me to wear it in public, and if anybody commented on it, it was because they needed mothering, and I needed to pray that for them. Strangers. So a young man in the checkout at Meijer, sure enough, he had to say, what kind of perfume are you wearing? I love it. And at first I was like, oh, come on, Dad. Stranger, I'm like, oh, that's him. Where's Harvey? And the guy started to walk away, and I had to follow him. I said, wait a minute. I have to pray for you because God said you need a mommy. And he stood there and let me pray God's love on him because he needed mothering. And it was awesome. When we do move on what God tells us to do, it's so awesome.
Yeah.
And when we don't, we go home grieved.
Yeah, right.
And we go home grieved. But we have to become transparent. We have to take the risk. We have to open ourselves up and dare to say what God wants us to say. We have to become vulnerable.
Yes.
When people hurt us, we may need to confront them. We may need to talk about it. Yeah, it hurts. It's painful. And it's risky. But we clear the way. We clear the way. Because if we don't, the devil takes things and twists them all up. And we end up losing relationships.
Yes.
So we're growing in that. We are growing. I know Bernie Bush is growing in that. I know that we've all gone through a lot of that. And it's awesome. But we need to become even more vulnerable, which means we need to lay down our fear. We need to lay down our lives. You know, we're coming to the end of the story. We're coming to a time where it doesn't matter what we think, feel, own, want. You know, I told God yesterday, you know, God, if you want me to have bad knees, a bad foot, cataracts on my eyes, and wear this stupid thing on my wrist, and, you know, this is your body, and if this is how you want this body to be, to bring you glory, then fine, I guess you'll give me grace for it. But if you want it healed, you can heal it. And I don't care. I really don't care. Because this life is yours, this body is yours, whatever glorifies you, you do it or don't do it. I really don't care. As long as you use this body and this life for your glory. Because we're coming to the end of the story. And we got to let God live and do anything
Amen.
He wants. So we need to be a candlestick church.
Amen.
That has been purified in the fires of God until we are transparent. And Christ can be seen. See, he stood in the middle of those candlesticks. And through those transparent candlesticks, people could see Christ. That's what we need to be. And if we're individually that way, we can become a church of transparency. You know, so many people don't go to church. And they don't go because of the stuffy religious reception they get when they get there. They walk into people in their wingtip shoes and their suits and their great big giant Bible and their holier-than-thou attitude. And they're like, I don't fit here, I don't belong here. I go over there and hang out with the heathen that I feel comfortable with. That's because we're not being real. We need to be real.
Amen.
So we need to be transparent. And if one, not only transparent, but if we'll be transparent before God himself and begin to beg for the fire. You can't carry the fire if you haven't been in the fire. If you don't go through the repentance, then you don't have the ability to carry the fire to someone else. So we need to begin to beg God, I want repentance. I want deeper repentance. There's other things that I got taken through last night, you know. That's the joy of getting to bring a message. You get to live it first, you know. So as I'm saying, God, we need repentance, he goes, let's start with you. Okay. So I got some deep repentance on personal issues last night. And I am not kidding you, things I didn't even know. Things I didn't even know were inside of me. I was just sitting there, oh my God. I can't even believe that this is inside of me and I didn't even know. And it was like, I don't want it. I don't want it. And you know, the thing about repentance that's amazing is we can't do it. It's a gift.
Right.
We want it. We can't do it. When God says, do not hate, try it. He says, love your neighbor. Go to the neighbor you can't stand and try to love them. At the best, you're going to be fake. You bake them the cookies and put on your smile and you don't care. You don't like them. You can't do it. But you can recognize the lack of love and you can beg him. Oh God, my heart doesn't love like you do. God, I don't have the compassion you have. God, I don't feel what I should. I don't think what I should. And you know what? I was amazed. I mean, I was crying. I was feeling so deep in repentance. And then this little thought would come, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go watch a movie. I went, what? How could I possibly, in the middle of deep repentance, decide I don't want to do it anymore? I just need a break. I want to go watch a movie now. And I stopped and I thought, I went, I am so carnal. Man, I like to just go make some nice, hot, buttery popcorn and watch a movie because I'm really tired of repenting. It's not fun, you know? And yet, it was real and it was deep. And at the same time, here's my flesh begging me, get out of here. Who wants to go through this? It's not fun. It hurts. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. It's almost degrading when it gets deep. But all you can say is, oh God, I see it. And I don't know how to change it. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to think different or feel different. But I'm begging you to deliver me. Change me. Get me out of this. Open me up wide. And all those little stringy roots everywhere follow up till you get to the seed of how this got planted in me.
Amen.
And get that seed out of
Amen.
Me. Because I can't do it.
Amen.
Now, I will tell you that what I was dealing with rooted back to being molested at 2 years old. And I've been through tremendous healing over that. But I still have thoughts that I don't know how to change from that. I still have thoughts that come in my mind that I don't know. Is this how I should think? Is this how somebody would think who had never been hurt? Or I don't know how to think. And I can't change those thoughts. I can't, no matter how hard I try. Oh my God, I can do it. And he's changed so many of my thoughts. But last night he went deeper and he said, there's more. We have to want the deeper repentance.
Amen.
We really want the Holy Ghost to be able to own us in a way that He can begin to be revealed through us. Begging for deeper repentance.
Amen.
And then when it comes, face it. Face it. Want it.
Yes.
Accept it. The hurting will, you'll get over the hurting. You'll get past the hurting. You'll get past the hardness. You will get delivered, set free, and it's going to be wonderful.
Amen.
It is. Those, you know, I just got to say this because I think I'm not the only one that has deep things in me from the abuse of this world. I think sometimes you have thoughts that you don't like.
Well, of course we do.
I think you do. Oh. And I think you wish that nobody would ever know what they are.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Because the devil has done that to us. So we try to do our best and avoid those things and say, well, I'm just going to deal with that. That's not where I'm going to live. But when God uncovers it, don't hide.
Amen.
Because He's coming to uncover and deliver us. He's coming to do it. You can trust Him.
Amen.
He will complete it.
Yes.
So I'm encouraging you back for repentance. I wasn't going to get there yet. We haven't got to the fire part. We only barely touched on it. But this is a time of purifying of the church. And judgment begins in the house of God. It begins with us. And then we're going to take that message out to the world. We're going to take it in a way to set them free, to heal them from things they thought they couldn't get healed of, and to bring them into the kingdom of God. But we have to go through the fire first. Jesus not only said that this, here's the church who's carrying the flame of fire, it's what a candle's for, but then when you look through that and you see Christ, fire in His eyes. You know, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. And when we look deep into Jesus, we see such purity, such a blazing holiness of purity that John, when he saw these things, fell. He fell on his face. He couldn't even stand. Moses, when he saw this purity in God, Moses had shown your glory and all the goodness of God passed before him. He only got a glimpse of the backside of who God really is. He got a glimpse of who God is. And his face glowed. Now John got a glimpse of who Jesus is. We need encounters. I want to say that word over and over. Encounter, encounter, encounter. God, I need an encounter with you.
Amen.
You know, we're coming to a time, the closer we get to the end, Christ is going to be seen in the fullness of who He is.
Yes.
In the fullness of His goodness and holiness and glory. And at the same time, the devil is going to get unmasked and be seen in the fullness of his evil, of who he really is.
Right.
He is. And then God's going to win. We're coming to a time of unveiling. His garment was pure white. And I'm making sure I didn't skip something here. His garment was pure white. He was totally clothed in righteousness. And he desires for us to be clothed in his righteousness. You know, when we go to the weapons, you know, the soldiers of God, their weapons in Ephesians, you know, we'll see that we're clothed in his righteousness. Our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. But this righteousness in Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. We are clothed in Christ.
Amen.
Adorned as his bride.
Amen.
You know, whenever we get mad at ourselves, disappointed in ourselves, like last night when I wanted to go watch a movie and eat popcorn, it was like, how can I be deep in God one minute and just want to give up and go watch TV? Because we are clothed in flesh. This flesh is our enemy. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And whenever the flesh wants to interrupt what the spirit's doing, we have to learn to say, no, no, sorry, no. I'm sticking with God right now.
Amen.
His hair was white as wool. You know, the Bible teaches us that an old man's white hair is a sign of maturity and wisdom. So we're seeing Christ now in his full maturity. And he is standing in the midst of the church. Remember, everything we're seeing about him is going to be seen in us because he's going to be seen in us. So we need to grow up. We need to become mature in Christ. We can't keep going back to the foundational things of a baby, like, is God mad at me because I don't have money like my neighbor? Is God mad at me because he didn't heal my foot? Somebody else got healed, why not me? No. We have to become a mature Christian that says, okay, God, I'm ready to go to the battle. I'm not a baby to stay home. I'm ready to go out and stand for you. I finally realize it's my turn to live for you rather than being a baby in the house where you're still feeding me all the time and rocking me in the rocking chair. And he'll always rock us in the rocking chair and feed us. But there's also a time where we go, we live for God. He's God, we're not. He's not here as our puppet to serve us. We're here to serve him.
Amen.
We have to grow up into that.
Yes.
And I'm just going to give you, because I can't help it, Jen, I can't help it. I've got to give him one little bite of Babylon. Jen and I are looking into Babylon, and you don't get to go there until verse 17 and 18. But I have to say this. The devil, always, from the day he rebelled, he wants to be worshipped. He wants to be worshipped. God doesn't want you to worship money and fame and things and fun and pleasure. God wants you to worship him. And as you worship God with love, with a pure heart because he loves you and he's so good to you and you worship him because your heart falls so in love with him. But the devil, when he said, I want to be God and I want to be worshipped, he became more and more evil. He also doesn't want you to worship money and fame and selfishness. He only used those like candy to lure you into his kingdom. Then he takes all the candy away and enslaves you to worship him. But when I looked up the worship that the devil wants, that word, it said like a dog that licks the hand of his master. Not as a child of God. When you worship the devil, you become a dog licking the hand of his master. And an evil master at that. A master who will kick his dog, torture his dog, and take pleasure in it. But the dog will do what the master wants because they are enslaved by fear. I want to serve that master.
Amen.
We're going to look into Babylon because we see the whole system of the devil falls by his own hand because it comes to the time where he says, I got you all here by using it. Now you're not going to worship it. You're going to come straight after me and worship me. End of his story where he shows his colors to the max.
Right.
Yeah. His feet is burnt as brass that had been in a furnace. That means walking in the fire. God brings us the presence of his holiness, and then we need to walk in it. We need to be walking in the presence of his goodness and his purging in his fire. These are feet that have learned how to walk the way God wants them to walk. And then his voice is like many waters. I really believe that God showed me that that is the voice of many joined together. And there's verses we'll see through Revelation that confirm that. All of his church with him, because it is the voice of God that is speaking through his church.
Amen.
Which is the voice of many, many, many thousands of
yes.
people. And that makes a mighty roaring sound. Sometimes a roar, sometimes a shout, sometimes a trumpet.
Yes.
A two-edged sword in his mouth, the word of God, the most powerful weapon. We have three things that I hold in my mind all the time, his power. The word of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God. Those are the most powerful things you can carry. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God can cut down inside of you and open you up. So if you want repentance, get into the word while you're asking for it. Ask him where to read. And if you don't know where to read, just pick a place. Read anyway. He'll speak through anything. Just you get in his word. Providence is as the sun in its brightness. This is the glory of his character just glowing and shining out of him. Like I say, Moses, his face shined. But that was only a glimpse of God. He wants the fullness of who he is to be shining out of his churches.
Amen.
In his hand, he had the seven stars, the angels. He has sent angels. Harvey and I had a time where God showed us thousands of angels that were assigned to this ministry. That's pretty funny. Thousands of angels for a handful of people. We're not going to remain a handful of people.
Amen.
We're like in college right now. We're in college. But after we're trained and then we're placed back in the public, we will bring in multitudes when we're ready to deal with them.
Amen.
John fell as a dead man. We're seeing Jesus through the testimony of John. I like that he said to John, "What do you see?" Write it. What do you see? What do you see in God? What have you seen? What has he shown you? That's a testimony. What has he done for you in your life? How has he changed you? That is your testimony. Take that and tell people about it. We need an encounter. We need to see something. We need to have something to tell. That requires an encounter with a living God. Begging for that encounter. In Deuteronomy 4:11, we're back in the days of Moses and talking to the people in that day. In Deuteronomy 4, it says, "And you came near and you stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness." That's like a secret, obscure, hidden place. God was hiding. He was hiding from man to protect man. Even Moses only got to see a little glimpse. God is so holy. If we got a full look at him, it would kill us. "And the Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire, and you heard the voice of the words, but you saw no similitude." You only heard a voice. This is really exciting because God will speak to us out of the midst of the fire. If we will ask for the fire of repentance, God will speak to us. If we're willing to come near that fire, that's the place where he will speak to us. Moses and the people saw no similitude. They didn't see a body. They didn't see a face. They saw smoke and clouds. Now what's exciting is in these days, we do see a similitude. In the book of Revelation, there is someone in that fire showing himself. So to the church today, he wants to show himself. And through us, he wants to show himself. We're created in his image. And this is how he can show himself. As we come into the fires and we're transformed, glory to glory to glory, as we behold him, he can be seen. His similitude can be seen through the church.
Amen.
We will show this image of Christ. And only the church has this invitation. People that say they love God, but they're not in a church, they're not attached. He's forming a body of believers that will give him a team
right.
that he can live and breathe through. Everybody's not a head, a hand, an eye, a foot. So if you've got a hand out there with no arm, it's not attached to an arm or a brain, that hand cannot expose Christ to the fullest. Mouths running around out there without brains aren't doing a good job of it. They need to be attached to a total body, full, functioning, healthy body of Christ. So we need an encounter. I'm going to give you a little, just a little bit about the people in the book of Deuteronomy. Because when I looked up the verse that our God is a consuming fire in Deuteronomy, the story, I guess I'm just going to tell it to you. I didn't write it all out. You know what? My study starts out with about 20 pages, and then I reduce it so I don't keep you here for 5 hours. Let me find out if I really wrote it or I'm just Okay. All right, I'm just going to briefly go through this with you. In Deuteronomy 24, you can read it later, but it says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Now that follows farther into the chapter. So what happened first was he rescued his people out of Egypt. That parallels us getting saved, rescued out of the devil's kingdom. Then he led them to the holy mountain of God. He brought them to a place where he gave them the ways of God, the commandments of God, the good laws of God based on love, how they should get along and treat each other. And some time for learning that. They went through years, 40 years of preparation in the wilderness, where he gave them chances to practice loving one another, living by his laws, learning his new ways. That's what happens when we accept Christ. We come into the kingdom of love and we begin learning. And we fall and we forgive and we repent and we begin learning the ways of God. So he led them through all that. He was taking them to a new promised land, but it was full of evil giants. And they were going to have to go in there and face those giants to take that land. There was so much good. God said, "This is a rich land. It's full of good things for you. But you have to conquer the giants to take the land." They didn't do it. They were afraid. They said, "We can't do it. They're too big. It's too scary." And they turned away. That generation died in the wilderness. And the next generation came back to that land. And they believed that their God was bigger than the boogeyman. And they went in and took the promised land. Now, I parallel that with where we're at coming up to the time of tribulation. Yes, it's a land full of big giants. The devil is going to show his evil face and he's going to do some mean and scary things to Christians. Some are going to be tortured. Some are going to be killed. There's things, you know, we're going to get heads cut off. You know what I saw on the internet today? They're experimenting while you still have your head, transferring the blood vessels over to a new head and putting a brain in the new head, and then they cut your head off and put the new head on you.
What?
Yeah, head transplants. That's what they're working on now.
Oh,
the problem is whose head and whose brain you have.
Not I was just thinking that.
I don't think I want a head transplant. Had no trouble with this one. We're coming to our promised land. We're coming close to the time we get to go into heaven. But there's some giants to face. There's giants. And we need to be ready to say, "My God is big enough. If I get imprisoned or tortured, he'll be there for me."
Amen.
He will be there. He will give me the grace. He will give me the strength. If I have to face hatred and vile abuse, he, if I'm with him, will help me to forgive my enemy.
Right.
And maybe I can even win that enemy through forgiving him and loving him when I should hate him. Maybe he'll see the reality of God in that. You know, if we have to suffer a little bit in order for others to get into heaven instead of eternity in hell, aren't we willing to suffer a little bit?
Yes.
To bring them in?
Yes.
Especially if God is going to be there to give us the grace as we do. Now, when Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," I really believe that he showed us. He meant, nourish yourself on the life I lived in the flesh and live your life in flesh the way I did. How did he live? He didn't live for things, fortune and fame. He lived for people. He lived to go around and love and win people. And how did his life end? He was tortured and killed. He took upon him the punishment, the suffering, the death. To drink his blood is the mercy, the forgiveness that's in the blood of Christ. So if we lay down our flesh and say, "God, you can live in my flesh. Finish your life. Live your life through me." Then what is he going to do? He's going to lay down your life to win people.
Amen.
And love people. And then he might even through your life, if you let him, be imprisoned or killed. And he might win some people through that. So he is still living. He's living in us. That is scary because we don't know what's coming. It is scary. But see, during these 40 years in the wilderness, 68 of them for me. Well, actually, I didn't get saved until 23, so 45 in the wilderness. We've been practicing the goodness of God. We've been learning the laws of God. We've been offended and hurt. We've had to forgive. We've gone through painful surgeries, and we survived the physical pain because God was there with us. We have learned that whatever God takes me through, He takes me through. He's there with me. He helps me. You don't know what grace is until you need it. You think what you could not endure, you don't know, because grace isn't there until you have to endure it. If you were chosen for it, He will be there for you when it happens.
Right, man.
And we can't imagine that until the day it happens. But let's get ready. Let's repent of the carnality. Let's repent of the things that we don't even know. Let's let Him take us to a level of repentance to clear the way so Christ can fully live. Let's get rid of the doubts, the confusions, the selfishness, the worry, the lust, the greed. Let's let Him go deep and get rid of those things in us, even if we think it's going to make us look weak or vulnerable. It really doesn't. You know anybody you like that's really full of pride? Anybody that's arrogant? Pride feels good to the person carrying it around because they think they know everything and they feel real pleased with themselves. Nobody else likes them. Have you ever seen anybody who's broken and admitting that they're weak? Do you dislike them when they do that? No, you don't. You appreciate their honesty. See, the devil's a liar. He tells us that if we don't walk around in this arrogant pride, that we won't look good. That if we repent and other people see us repenting, they're going to think bad of us. No, all of us need to repent, and everybody else knows it anyway. And when we do it, they might think more of us for being honest about it.
Amen.
We've got to become vulnerable and open and honest, and we need an encounter. We need many encounters.
Amen.
We need to come and behold the holiness of Christ to be changed into the same image so that He can shine through us and love other people. When Christ was crucified, it looked like He was losing, but He was winning. He was winning. And when you're in a storm, when you're in a hard time, you might feel like you're losing, but you're winning.
Amen.
If you don't deny the Lord, you're winning. In Hebrews, again, I'm not going to go there right now, but in Hebrews 12, if you want to read that later, it talks about our God as a consuming fire. Again, now in this chapter, He talks about rebuking and correcting and all the things He has to do in our life as a consuming fire. So we need to welcome Him. Rebuke me, Lord. Correct me, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Because I want You to live in me.
Right.
I want to carry Your glory.
Right.
There's nothing in this life worth holding on to except Him.
Amen.
Okay. I'm not going to ask who did read. I'm just going to ask who has anything they got out of Revelation this week that they'd like to share. Anybody have something you want to share?
Well, I was...
Come here.
Okay.
I'll take this to the old people. Young people can come to me.
Well, I'm thinking about that movie. What's it called? The Miracles... From Heaven, the movie where the little girl falls down the tree and hits her head. Well, in a part of the movie, when she gets sick and she's in the hospital going through all this pain, she gets a roommate who's dying of cancer, whose dad doesn't believe in Jesus. So she's never heard of Him. So that's kind of like, you're going through all this pain and suffering so that this soul isn't lost.
Right.
You're going through this.
So you have a chance to tell someone.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have been in that hospital to talk to that girl if she had not been suffering herself, right? Anybody else something you want to share? Does everybody run up here at once? Wonderful. I like responses.
Drop the
ball.
This is Roxanne. Sorry, I love you. Don't be mad at me. I saw something kind of, God showed me something kind of cool in verse 10.
Where then? I'm sorry.
Verse 10, where John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I look at it, that means the Sabbath. And it's like, I'm not totally sure because God's speaking me through looking up more closely, like, what about the Sabbath, you know? And it's like, there's something there. He was in the Spirit on the Sabbath. And he was very specifically mentioned that. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Part I like on that is I was in the Spirit.
Right. And the other part that came from that verse you stole already in your last house.
Okay. I was in the Spirit is the good part. I like it when you get to be in the Spirit. We're not going to go into about the Sabbath right now, but we will take that on later. Anybody else?
Okay. Yes.
Yes, we can hear you. You're younger than me. You walk. Everyone in the room is younger than me, so I don't have to get up. So there's maybe one in the room a little bit older.
Moses.
I've read Revelation several times, and a couple of things spoke out. God spoke to me about. One is on Revelation 1:6. He says that he has made us kings and priests unto God. I read that, and a lot of times I want to understand something, so I put it on a shelf. And a lot of times when you read the Bible, you don't understand anything like right away. If you read it once or twice or sometimes and a third time, you go like, well, this doesn't make sense. And when I've been on the fourth time, it was like, wow, that goes on. And then the fifth time, it's like, I've never seen this before. It's like, it just opens stuff up for you in layers and layers.
Right.
You go deeper and deeper. Well, it says he made us priests. I understand that. We're apostles. We're pastors. We're shepherds. We're ministers. We're teachers. I understood that. And I'm thinking, a king. I'm not a king. In a flesh, I'm the king of my house. No, I'm not the king of my house. I'm a servant in my house. I'm a minister. I'm a teacher. I'm not the king. So I'm thinking like, okay, I'll just put that on the shelf. And later he reveals that to me. And if you look at Revelation 2:10 says, if you look at that in 2:10, it says, where am I? It's going one. 2:10, it says, I will give thee a crown of life. So it's given to us. We are kings. He's given us a crown. So when we go through and endure, we're given a crown. So he has made us kings. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. What I really thought Revelation was about is in 1:8, where he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, and says the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. So what is that? Who is Jesus? Let this world does not know who Jesus Christ is.
Right.
Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And here it is, right here. You know, also when I read it, I was thinking about Jehovah's Witnesses, which are zealous. They're really for God, but they miss who Jesus Christ really
right.
is. And this is the proof. It's right here. Who is it? I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Almighty. Where else is it? It's in Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So what is this about? It's about us needing to tell the world who is God. It is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
the
Almighty.
Right.
Amen.
That's what happened.
Very good.
Right.
We're doing a restart here, so I'm not handing out papers. But when we did this about who is Christ the first time, we handed out papers with every verse of Revelation where he tells us who he is. And did you get that paper, Steve? I read all the verses about who Jesus is. Other Steve that just talked.
I think so.
Yeah, and he says he is the Word, he is God Almighty, and over and over and over in Revelation he tells us who he is. That is a major message of the book, who is Christ. It's revelation in the fullness of who he is. We need to carry that. You're right. Thank you. Anyone else share something that you got? Lynn?
It's amazing, you know, when it says, if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You know, I've heard that and I've read it, but it's true. You know, we go through our day and we get up in the morning and we start doing whatever. But what I have to do when I get up, actually before I get out of bed, is thank you, Jesus, for another day. Because it's not about me, it's about him. And that's what I'm learning is, first of all, I didn't know who he was. I had no relationship with him until I realized that I was a sinner going to hell. And it was hard to admit that. But now that I've admitted that, and then I said, you know, if I have an outline to follow, well, what's the Bible? You know, and he's so kind. He's so loving. He's so long-suffering.
Amen.
I mean, he's our Abba Father. He's the best father anyone could ever have. And it's all he wants is a fellowship with us. And I am just so blessed that when I read the Word, and before I didn't understand, and I don't understand it all, and I've got it figured out, I don't need to understand everything. It's what jumps out of the page for me. It's what God has me purposed for. But I don't have to realize I'm Glenn. I don't have to say, okay, Glenn, it's up to you. Because I help my boys today, and he goes, well, no, you taught us that. I go, I did. I said, I'm going to taught you how to work, but where I failed is I didn't talk, when you were little, I didn't talk to about Christ about you, to you, to show you who he was, because I didn't have a relationship. But now that's the most important thing in my life. It's all about Jesus, and he's all about others. And folks, what an outline to follow. I mean, wow, it's in black and white and red sometimes, you know? And the red is the best part. But then he, you know, through the Bible he goes, behold. And I used to read it, okay, behold, you know? But now when I read behold, it's like, check it out, as my brother pastor says. Check it out. That's what I say. You know, and it's, we're created in his image. And the end times, the beginning and the end. God's got it all covered. We don't have to figure it out.
Right.
You know, it's not something that we can do anyhow. If we just go along with his word, if we share love to others, if we look at them with his eyes instead of our eyes, I could go on and on, but I'm just so thankful that we have an outline to follow, and it's the Word of God, and it's the truth that will set us free.
Amen.
Chapter 1, remember there's two things to come, but the first thing is the revelation of Christ. That's the testimony we're hearing, people that have seen who he is, and they're sharing who he is to them. So even if you didn't study chapter 1, if you want to share who Jesus is, who he's been to you, you got a testimony? Want to share something?
I got something to share.
Judy.
Couple.
hold it closer.
Okay. Exactly what Sue was talking about. I've been going through this week. I've been dealing with really hard circumstances with one particular child of mine, adult child.
Do you want to
Doesn't matter. And I just, by going through these circumstances, God shows me things in me from my past that haven't been quite healed, that are kind of relating. They're coming up as I'm going through these things. But I'm seeing them. I'm seeing things in my, this is my daughter, seeing things in my daughter that I guess I went through in my past as well. And because of this, it's like God's bringing all this stuff up in me, and he's putting it in this, he's putting pieces to this puzzle together, and he's like, okay, I want you to look at this. Even the stuff that's hurting me, the stuff that I'm ashamed of, the stuff that I've gone through, hurts and pains from others, he's letting me see this clearly. And I'm seeing these same things in my own daughter. And it's helping me by seeing this and it coming to the surface to look at it with my eyes wide open and seeing it clearly. It's causing a deeper healing in me.
Amen.
That, and I mean, it's like I can let this go because God is healing this part of me that I thought was already healed, you know? And also, I went to a funeral yesterday. One of my dearest, oldest friends knew her for over 20 years. Loved the Lord with all her heart. She never wavered. She always walked her faith. She was 69 years old, and I was going through a really hard time when I met this lady, and she loved me where I was at. She comforted me. She was a friend to me. All the years that I knew her, she was always just so kind to me. When we were at her funeral, they had the videos, you know how they show the videos of people, and all I could see was Cheryl's sweet smile, and she, even on her deathbed, she was so ready, so assured that she was going home. She was going to go home with God. She was going to see her dad. And what she had to say to her children really stuck with me. And I guess Ronald Reagan used to say this, but she said to her kids and her sister and brother, make this count. She said, don't let this go. Make this count. The end of her life count. And that's what we need to do. We need to every day make it count.
Amen.
Amen. I was raised in a Baptist house, and they didn't explain things a whole lot. So when the Bible said to fear God, I took that literally. Or I was schizophrenic, because I was like, why do I have to fear God? He's not going to hurt me. But at the same time, I didn't seek out to have, a relationship with a daddy, with my daddy relationship, you know. Fast forward 29 plus years. And now my prayers are more like this morning, recently, whatever, was, I don't like how I feel. And you know what, God, I'm mad at you right now. Because, you know, I'm hurting. Why aren't you doing anything about it? Or I don't remember everything I said, but now I can say, you know what, I'm mad at you. I don't like this situation. I don't like this, you know, wine press hell you've got me in. However, I know you only want good things for me. And you're my daddy. And you set your word. The word says, do not despise the chastisement of the Lord. And I know I need this right now. And you're only doing this because you want me to grow. But I don't like it, and I'm mad at you right now. But the fact that I can say that, I'm going to first follow it up with, you know, I know I feel this way. I'm mad at you. I'm whatever. But I know it's wrong. I don't want to be, but I can't, like you said, I can't do anything unless you help me.
Amen.
Amen. You don't make wine unless you crush the grapes.
I know.
Anyone else? On record?
Can I sing a song? I don't care if it's on record or not.
Can I sing? Can put it on. Put it on record. Yeah, I'd like you to.
Yay.
One of the greatest pleasures of our life was Janaya standing at the foot of our bed singing, singing, singing to us.
Well, I just meant like the name of Jesus. You say the book of Revelation, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, it comes down to his name, like I was saying on Sunday, that his name is all of who he is and what it makes you feel. And so, anyways, okay. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something